Well, these trends, evolving the economy and the bureaucratic responses to the economy, some out of narrow views in fashion, different value systems and enthusiasms, have created a major challenge for those of the epidemiological persuasion. There's nothing new in being number three. There have always been people in high places that take a dim view, if not an antagonistic view, to our thinking and activities. The structure of a broad research program is still very much in place. We all worked very hard for this arrow 20 years ago. It's even been fancified so that it now has clinical studies and clinical trials in it, and dissemination research and feedback from all these to the beginning. Still, intellectually, it is there. The balance is there, but not always physiologically. Not in the autonomic system, not in the sympathetic system, not in the gut. NIH, NHLBI, balanced research program has been characterized as extending from the genes to the bedside. It requires an intellectual reminder to extend this to the population, to remember that most of the action in population rates of disease is outside, that the cause of population incidence is in the culture, that the cause of individual risk is an interaction between this culture and genes. It's easy in seeing these trends to think of conspiracy, but conspiracy really takes too much planning. It's rare, I can assure you, that council reviewers even exchange views on the issues they're reviewing, unless there's a chance meeting, say, what do you think of that study from Paducah? Even in the small committee, the committee I call the Gang of Four, the Committee on Working Program of the Council, views are expressed very openly. No line is set. No one goes to council with any planned strategy of who will talk first and who will say what. You'll not be surprised to hear about a number of informal comments one hears in the NIH corridors at coffee time. I couldn't care less for these epidemiological studies. Is that community trial going to go on forever? Don't those guys know it's 1991? This stuff isn't science. Well, if it's science, it isn't research. This is not a conspiracy. What's new in the picture is the crunch, the congressional hands-on, and the bureaucratic response of management. There's also something new in the ethos at NIH. Almost extinct is that species of thoroughly informed, thoughtful, sage, self-deprecating, supportive, traditional NIH staffers. One of the best is being honored this week on his retirement, being honored here. Now, what do they have? They have a bunch of bright academics with the same reflexes we have in universities for participation, careers, direction, and empires. The very idea. The battle goes on. We worked hard for that broad spectrum of research strategy in NIH. We prevailed because of the power of the evidence in our arguments, the persistence of our pedagogy, the permanence of our organization. We are supposed to have the skills in epidemiology of analysis, prediction, conclusions, implications, and preventive applications. This body of the Heart Association shouldn't lose another day in using those skills. Meet, raise the questions, discuss with the NIH leaders. Start tomorrow morning. It's an open system. Do what we can do in-house. Get advice on what to take outhouse, that outhouse downtown. Devise better ways to respond to this crisis than rolling over, belly aching, or more dangerously, shipping clandestine arms to load the loose cannons of Congress. In the long run, it is not healthy that we should always be underrepresented and always in a reactive posture. Not healthy for all science. Only from a balanced position can one transcend special interest for the greater good. But if thrust into this role, we can only be open, forthright, in formulating our positions clearly so that they not be considered solely self-serving or even disloyal to the proud establishment we have helped create. It's time we speak out. It's time that we act for broader views of what is real science. All the while, we must continue to seduce our colleagues to our view that it is not only sick and well individuals requiring attention, but also sick and well populations. One of our colleagues has summed it up for us. The medical high-risk individual focus alone is an abdication of public responsibility. Thank you.